Let's go back to the phones now. Let's talk to Matthew in Long Beach, California. Hi, Matthew.
Hello, Patrick. How are you?
I'm well, thank you.
Awesome. Let's see here. So I wanted to ask you about when we're talking about the Amazon Synod, it's got some problematic phrases, stuff about, you know, ancestral wisdom of the Amazon Nation, stuff about getting closer to the earth. It seems like they're taking us further away from Jesus. For instance, life in the Amazon is integrated and united with the territory. There's no separation or division between the parts. Everything is shared. Private spaces, typical of modernity, are minimal. Life proceeds on a communal path where tasks and responsibilities are shared. The sake of the common good, there is no place for the idea of an individual detached from the community or its territory. It just sounds a lot like communism, which has been thoroughly denounced as satanic by the church. So I'm just kind of wondering what your stance is on the working document we've seen so far and your thoughts going into the synod in October.
Okay, well, I'm apprehensive because of the very things that you're describing. The instrumentum laboris, the working document, is really all that we have to go by right now, because the synod hasn't happened yet. And I know you know this, but a lot of people, they hear about the synod, they're not necessarily sure. It hasn't happened yet. It's scheduled for October. So in the meantime, the working document functions as a kind of a schema or framework of talking points and issues that are likely to be front and center at the synod. So the best way I can answer your question is I'm apprehensive because there's a lot in there that is, I would say, directly contrary to aspects of the Catholic faith, and also things that I would argue would be injurious to the Catholic faith. For example, I am not in favor of ordaining viri probati, which is the Latin for proven men, laymen who are married, and ordaining them to the priesthood so that they can celebrate Mass in the sacraments. We used to have that in the Catholic Church. It was called a simplex priest, and a simplex priest would be ordained solely to celebrate Mass. They would not have much in the way, if any, theological training. They didn't really have the capacity in terms of the intellectual training and the spiritual formation to function in a well-rounded priestly way. So they were called basically simple priests, simplex priests, and they had the duty of learning how to say Mass, and that's all they did. And that's not good. That's not healthy. That's not the nature of the priesthood. And this is not even getting into the question about to what extent is it pastorally helpful for married men to be priests on a large scale. We have it here on a very small scale, on a case-by-case basis. But I believe that now more than ever, a recommitment, a reinvigorated commitment to priestly celibacy is the solution, or at least a solution, to the problem of a priest shortage. It's not, I don't believe the solution is going to be in the direction of ordaining married men. In the Eastern churches, especially in Europe, Eastern Europe, for example, and elsewhere, they too have a vocations problem, and they have married clergy. So the married part is not the solution to the problem. I would also argue, Matthew, as long as I'm at it, that because of Christ's own celibacy, his own universal availability, because he was not married, he is the model for priests. And obviously the church makes exceptions to this, and there were married priests in the early church, so none of that needs to be litigated here. But the point is, now more than ever, as we reach out toward the eschaton, as we're reaching forward and looking toward the second coming of Jesus, and we see the world deteriorating in so many ways around us, now more than ever, I truly believe we need that sign of contradiction. We need to see men and women, in the case of women who are in religious life, who have given up everything for the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Matthew 19, some men are incapable of marriage from birth, some are incapable because others have made them so, that's referring to castration, eunuchs, and some who have given up marriage for the sake of the kingdom of heaven. He says, not all can accept this, but those to whom it is granted should accept it. So Jesus himself extols the excellence of consecrated celibacy. And these are some of the things that are being taken up in the instrumentum laboris in preparation for the synod that cause me to be apprehensive. Now, we'll see where this goes. And as I always say, Matthew, and I want to leave it on a high note, is that, yes, there are dark days in the church from time to time, and maybe whole epochs of difficulty and darkness in the church, but the church always comes through. And Jesus, like in the story that we read in the Gospels, where the fishing boat was about to be swamped by the waves and the storm on Lake Galilee, and the apostles were freaking out, and Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat, and they wake him up, "Lord, don't you care that we're about to drown?" And he calms the storms and the storm, and then he says, "Oh, you have little faith, why did you doubt?" I like to come back to that happy note, because it gives us the positive hope and encouragement that we all need, no matter what may happen in the church. Things could get really weird and freaky, or maybe they'll get better, or you know what I'm saying? But Jesus is always with his church, even when it might seem like he's asleep. So for me and my money, I just want to stay close to Jesus. I'm a loyal son of the church. I love the church. I'm grateful to God that I'm Catholic, and I want to weather the storm on the bark of Peter. I don't want to jump overboard. I'm not gonna go after any of the officers of the ship. I would just want to be a loyal son of the church and trust in Jesus, do what I can, and keep pressing on, regardless of what may happen. So how's that for an answer, Matthew?
That's a good answer, Patrick. It really touched on the married priests thing, and it even went to, just sort of a more general sticking with the church, even in our time of trial. It's almost like we're in Babylon right now. Mm-hmm. But what I think is really the most concerning thing about the Synod is sort of the pagan elements, and then we've got the stuff to come, the Synod. We've got the stuff in the recent past, the document on human fraternity for world peace and living together. Mm-hmm. That's sort of the stuff that fears me more, is that people might say they're Catholic, and just have a misrepresentation of who Jesus was and what he said, that he wills the plurality of religions,
Well, Aunt Matthew, let me interrupt you. I get what you're saying, and there's a long catalog of things that we could talk about, but, it wouldn't benefit anyone to just go through an exhaustive list of things. I acknowledge that those are problems. I acknowledge it. And the best thing I can do, and really, quite honestly, the best thing you and any of us can do, is we just have to trust in the Lord, do our best, remain faithful, be close to Jesus, read the Holy Bible, read the Catechism, know our faith, teach the faith. And then, because God is in charge of all this, and I have no power whatsoever over any of it, nor do you. So it doesn't benefit you or me to wring our hands and fret and fume and, you know what I'm saying? That doesn't do anyone any good. So rather than get agitated about all these things, my view is, let's just press on. Onward, Christian soldiers. We live in a weird time in the life of the church right now, and a lot of weird things are happening. But think of it this way, Matthew. God, first of all, as you know, God is not surprised by any of this. It's not like, oh my gosh, what's going on down there? He knows all that's going to happen from all eternity. He knows all of this stuff. And he created you and me and everyone listening right now to be alive at this very time for a reason. And so we're here not by accident. We have a role to play. We have a purpose to serve. And so I'd like to, in a friendly way, this is all friendly, Matthew, is to exhort you and myself and all of us to see this as an opportunity for Christian heroism, not something to be afraid of, not something to lose our joy over, but to make us better apostles, closer to Jesus. That's what I think this is. This is a gift in disguise in a way, Matthew.
Amen to that, Patrick. May I just say, though, aside from just trusting in God, God is a good father, and he's not just going to give us what we want unless we ask him every day. So I'd like to encourage you and all the listeners to pray the rosary every day. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more, Matthew. And I'm right there with you. I do say the rosary every single day without fail. And I join you in encouraging everybody out there to pray. What does Our Lady say when she appears in places like Fatima? Pray the rosary. So let's follow her advice, shall we? Thanks, Matthew. This is the Patrick Madrid Show on Relevant Radio.